Gemara yesterday in Mem Aleph Amud Beis introduced the concept of pasaba bekisnin. Sometimes there are foods that have the appearance of a bread in some form, but they're not exactly bread. They're more foods that are essentially snack foods. And the halacha is that rather than saying hamotzi, even though they have the basic components of a bread, they're baked, it's flour and water, it's usually of balila abba of some sort. Nonetheless, since they're essentially snack foods, so the bracha on them is mizonos, and the bracha afterwards is ala mechya, as opposed to regular bread, where the bracha is birchas hamotzi, and then afterwards there's birchas hamazon. So the Gemara here says that, what does pasaba bekisnin even mean? So kisnin, according to Rashi, this was snack food that was accompanied by some other food, which was kisnin. It was parched corn that was eaten together with this type of snack food, the type of pasta you would eat with kisnin. Others understand that pasaba bekisnin means that there are pockets, that this is the way that Rabbeinu Hananel, I think, understands, that this is you have basically the breaded-like food, which is put into a pocket with other substances, like fruits or almonds or walnuts that are thrown in together. So the Gemara here says that Rav Huna, he ate 13 of these types of loaves, these types of pasbekistan foods of large measure, below barach. So Amalei, he didn't make a bracha though. He didn't, meaning he didn't say a bircha samazan. It was like a regular snack that he would make in ala mechya. So Amalei Rav Nachman, said that Adei Kafna, that with these, if they were eaten for Re'ovan, they were eaten because you're Kafna, you were hungry, and you eat such a large portion, and you're not going to make a Birchas Hamazon. It looks like this was really what you were Kovei Asud upon, that you made a whole meal about this. Rather, whatever is the measure, that this is the standard that is utilized by the Rosh Lahalacha, whenever there's this objective standard that others would be Kovei Asuda, would eat this amount of pasta, and you're haba bekisnin, for purposes of not just having a snack, but having an entire meal. So then under those circumstances, you would have to make hamotzi, you'd have to make birchas hamazon. If you started out thinking it's just going to be a snack, so you made a brahmin name is Onos, and then as you go along, you turn it into a meal. So even though you started out appropriately with a brahmin name is Onos, you still have to make a birchas hamazon at the end. It's not that we have no rule that you only make a birchas hamazon at the end if you made hamotzi at the beginning. It could be when you started, you thought it would be a snack, so it was a mizonah. So then it turned into a meal, turned into a kriya suda, so then you would make a birchas hamazon. Rabbi Yehuda was preparing a wedding for his son, the house of Rabbi Yehuda b'Chaviva, Isul Kamayo Pasa b'Kisnin. So he saw they brought this type of Pasa b'Kisnin food. So he heard that they were making hamotzi over it. What's this prattling noise that I hear, that you're saying something that's not hamotzi? You're making the berchas hamotzi. I'm relay in. They said, yeah, you better believe it. The Tanya Rabbi Muna, Amma Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Pasu Rabbi Kisman Barchan Alei Amotzi. They quoted a source saying that you do make Amotzi. Rama Shmuel Halacha Rabbi Muna. And Shmuel said the Halacha is like Rabbi Muna. So Amalu. So he said, no. Ain't Halacha Rabbi Muna Itmar. You got the statement right. You just left out a word. Sometimes when you leave out one word, it could change the entire meaning. So if you leave out the word Ain, so that changes the entire meaning. So he said the Halacha is not like Rabbi Muna. That's what the statement from Shmuel. So that is, in fact, halacha l'maisa, if it is defined, it's pasaba b'kisnin. So we see that normally you would make a bereimin name is honest, and then you make an ala mechia. However, the exception to the rule would be if there's a kviya suda. How do we define kviya suda? So it seems that it's defined objectively. Kol shacherim, kovim alav suda. That's how we basically define it. And that's the continuation of the Gemara as well. That he says, we see if you have little rolls, you do make birchas hamazon, hamotzi. So shiny us in the kavas sudasei alayu. That's the exception if there's a kviya suda. But if there is no kviya suda, lo. Okay. So the question is, what constitutes pahas haba bekisnin from our perspective? We said we brought down the shita of Rabbeinu Hanano. Rabbeinu Hanano said pockets that I have, like what would be an example of this? An apple pie, a blueberry pie, something like that, right? That would be a pasaba bekisnin, that I have essentially a crust that's like bread but it's filled together with lots of other things that you would eat, kind of snack food type things, nuts and fruit. So that would be a classic pasta babekisnin. You have apple pie, so that would seem to fit the definition as far as defined by Rabbeinu Chananel. Then there's a second definition of pasta babekisnin, and that's the definition of the Aruch that's attributed to the Rambam as well, and that is if I flavor the dough with honey, with eggs, with sugar, I sweeten the dough. So if I sweeten the dough, then that's basically like cake. In other words, it looks a lot like bread. I can have a cake that comes out of the oven. It looks exactly like a loaf of bread, but basically it's cake. If it's just basically bread and I threw in a few raisins, so that doesn't change it. It still basically looks like bread with a couple of raisins, but it has to be substantial. So if it's substantial that I have lots of honey and eggs and I essentially make it into a cake, so that's the definition of pasta babekisnin as understood by the Rama. Yes?
They have like crumbs on top.
Still challah, so it's crumbs. The crumbs is also bread. That's not that doesn't change it. What do you mean? All bread is crumbs. Lots of crumbs.
Maybe you smear a little honey or something like that.
You smear honey, so that's again. So if it's just a miut, that doesn't change the definition. It has to be very substantial. It's like the substantial part of the flavoring is brought about through the eggs, the honey, the sweetening agents. That I look at it and I say this is essentially cake, as opposed to it's essentially challah with a few raisins thrown in. And then the third definition, which is the name of a paigon. So a paigon says that it means that it was baked in such a way that instead of being soft and mushy, it's essentially hard and brittle. Like, for example, a pretzel. A pretzel would be a perfect definition of pasta babekisnin according to the explanation of Rav Haigon. So the Shulchan Aruch brings in Simen Kuf Samech Sif Zayin all three of these definitions and says that we would follow all three of these definitions lahalacha. Lahalacha, if you eat any type of food that satisfies these criteria, you have a cake, you have an apple pie, you have a pretzel, and you're essentially making a snack upon it, so then the bracha rishona would be berei mina mizonos, and the bracha achrona would be al hamechya. Each of these categories have exceptional cases. Which wouldn't necessarily satisfy the category perfectly. In the case of the apple pie, so the Shulchan Aruch later on in the same siman brings, this is from the Or Zeruah, the case of the pashtada. It says that you make hamotzi on pashtada. It's pashtada. Pashtada is also filled dough, except that this is dough that's filled with things that you would be koveya suda upon, that a person would eat not just like fruit or walnuts, they eat as a snack, but if it's filled with meat or filled with cheese. So if the dough is filled with meat or with cheese, so then the Shulchan Aruch assumes that automatically constitutes a meal food that you would make hamotzi upon. Let's say I had a meat pie. So a meat pie would not clearly fit into the definition of Rabbeinu Chananel. That could very possibly fit into the definition of pashtada. So the question is, and if you look at in the Rambam's definition of cake, so as you said, at what point does it become cake? You buy a challah from the store, or you buy your chocolate chip challah, your cinnamon bun challah. At a certain point, it becomes a little bit difficult to differentiate between at what point does it lose the status of bread and take on the status of a cake. So if you're koveya suda on it, you make hamotzi anyway. But if you want bona fide, if you're just going to be eating it as a snack, so that could be a little bit of a shaila. If it's so incredibly sweetened that it becomes more like a cake than a challah, the question is, what's the preponderance of the ingredients? And the last scenario, namely the pretzel. So then the question is, does that apply to any kind of brittle type of bread? Whenever I have a flatbread, it's automatically mizono. So maybe it depends on whether it's the sort of thing that people would normally be koveya suda apart. So the Mama Mordechai and others, this is brought in the Nesivus. The Nesivus says a halacha, so as a haggadah. And then in his commentary to his haggadah, the Nesivus actually makes the same comment that the reason why we're able to lump together all of these categories, and we don't just pick one and worry that maybe we're making a mistake with respect to the others, is that there is sort of one common denominator causes the definition to be somewhat fungible. What is the common denominator? Is this the type of thing that you eat as a snack, or is it the type of thing that you normally eat to be koveya suda upon? Now, even if it's a snack, if you're koveya suda upon it, you would make hamotzi. But the question is, in terms of defining pasaba b'kisnin to begin with, so that if I ate it as a snack, I would make a berei m'nei mizonos, it has to be the sort of thing which is normally a snack. So the reason why all three of these definitions, even though they come from different directions and different rishonim, are all lumped together, la halacha, is because, at least for purposes of when it was codified by the Shulchan Aruch, all three of these different descriptions all fit the definition of something which was a snack. However, lu yitzuyer, that I would have something that technically fit this definition, but it's not really a snack, it's something that people are koveya or suda upon automatically, that they don't eat as snack food, they eat as meal food, like you would eat a roll of bread as meal food. You couldn't say, oh, today I'm just going to have a roll of bread as a snack. No, it's meal food. Even if you're just going to have a roll of bread as a snack, you still have to make hamotzi upon it. So by the same token, if something which used to fit these definitions, or technically fits these definitions, is something a kovei suda upon, so then bizman hazeh, we would have to say that it's automatically hamotzi. Conversely, you could have something which technically does... not to fit any of these definitions, and yet clearly is a snack food, and then maybe you make a mizonos upon it. Pizza. So pizza is something which arguably fits the first definition. It's something where I have a dough and I have a filling inside the dough. I have cheese and so forth as a filling inside the dough. So you can argue that you should really make hamotzi on pizza. First of all, it's possible that pizza doesn't really fit the definition, because maybe the definition only works with something that's, you know, vegetables or fruits thrown inside or nuts, while this is a case where it's more substantial. It's cheese. People generally do make a meal out of cheese. So maybe it's more like pashtada in that sense, and therefore you would make hamotzi because it's more like pashtada. But even if you argue that it's not like pashtada, it's not, you know, substantial enough, you didn't order the extra cheese, so maybe it's not substantial enough. Nonetheless, pizza nowadays, people generally are koveya suda upon pizza. So both of Rabbi Willig and Rav Schachter are of the opinion that you should make hamotzi on pizza. Even if you are thinking in your mind that you're only eating pizza as a snack, what does that mean? So even our meals are snacks, Bismana said. Bismana said everybody's constantly running. How many people sit down on a koveya suda for an hour or so? People eat on the run, so often our meals. So you grab two slices of pizza, even one slice of pizza, and that becomes your meal. So they are of the opinion, Rabbi Willig published this in his Am Mordechai, that even on one slice of pizza, you should make hamotzi. And others argue and say, no, it really still is a snack food, and only if you're koveya suda upon it, which we'll get to what that means to be koveya suda, would you make hamotzi, but otherwise you would make mizono. So both menogim are followed by various people in various communities. Similarly, what about matzah? So matzah might technically satisfy the definition of haigon, because it's brittle. And yet we know for sure that we make hamotzi on matzah, right? We even make hamotzi matzah, but we say hamotzi lechem min haaretz as well when it comes to matzah on Pesach. So the Sfaradim have a pshara. So on Pesach they'll say hamotzi, and the rest of the year they'll say mizonos, because Pesach less bread. There's no, this is bread. The rest of the year, bread is defined as, you know, this leavened thing, and on Pesach it's defined as an unleavened thing, so it's sort of brittle. They've even figured out a way to make matzahs not so brittle. So but even if it's brittle, so that is the food that you're supposed to eat on Pesach. So Pesach, they find some sort of a hesber, which is discussed by the Achronim. The Post can talk about how justified this distinction is, but they're able to justify making hamotzi on Pesach. And the rest of the year, they make mizonos. In the Ashkenazic community, we generally assume that matzah is the type of food, even though it's brittle, but we're koveya suda on it. We put our strawberry jam on it. We put cream cheese on it, whatever we're utilizing. But we will generally view a matzah as a staple of a meal. Just like on Pesach, if you want to have a meal, you have it with matzah. So if I'm going to use matzah the rest of the year, even if I'm not going to eat it in an abundant measure, so in the Ashkenazi communities generally assume that you would make hamotzi, as opposed to, for example, if I had matzah crackers. If I had matzah crackers, so you're not going, even though it's made the same way, It's made with the same ingredients, it's just being made in smaller units. But nonetheless, the matzah cracker is not something which is being set aside for being koveya suda pan. So therefore, we wouldn't make a hamotzi on a matzah cracker. We would make mezonos on a matzah cracker. Conversely, there are other things that might be snack foods that wouldn't fit into any of these definitions. A soft pretzel. A soft pretzel without any special sugary flavoring. So it doesn't have a pocket of anything else that's added. It doesn't have sugary flavoring, and it's not hard and brittle. And yet, nonetheless, presumably most people would eat a soft pretzel. I think we were giving out soft pretzels at the end of the Yachikal, if I remember correctly, this past Shavuos. So most people would eat the soft pretzels as a snack. And they're not going to be kobe, so this isn't something where you typically, you're going to sit down in a meal, and the balabustuk, sets the table, and she puts a big soft pretzels for everyone to begin the meal with, and to center the meal around the soft pretzels. So that presumably, based on this mahalach of the Nesivos and others, that it's not necessarily dependent upon the technical definitions, but it's more dependent upon, is it something which is generally used for a snack, or something which is generally used for a meal? So then it could be that you would gain something in terms of something like a soft pretzel that wouldn't, even though it's a thick dough and it's baked and seems to look like bread and everything else, since it's intended as a snack food, so maybe that would be a reason to make a mezonos upon it. But if I have like a mezonos roll that they serve, say, in the airplanes, and they say this is a mezonos roll, even if it's baked with a lot of other ingredients other than water, like the fruit juices and eggs or whatever else, the truth is that you don't really taste the fruit juice when you're eating the mezonos roll. It tastes exactly like a roll. I don't really know so much because I generally don't eat the mezonos rolls. But from what I understand, the mezonos rolls you can't really tell that it tastes so different from regular bread. And if you're being koveya suda upon it, that in fact it's meant for that purpose of being koveya suda upon it. So then it's very difficult to justify making a mezonos for two reasons. Number one, it really is intended for being koveya suda upon, so therefore it doesn't, even if it has lots of fruit juice or whatever else, or it doesn't really satisfy the technical definition of pasta babakistan as being a snack food. And number two, the maisa, people generally are koveya suda. They'll eat it at the beginning and they'll eat everything else around it. So two separate reasons why mezonos bread doesn't, mezonos rolls don't really work as being mezonos. Yes?
Yeah, well, first of all, mezonos rolls, what if you have it as
so we'll get to that. So that's the, as I said though, that there's a separate consideration with mezonos rolls. That it's manufactured for purposes of being koveya suda upon, meaning that it's like pizza or matzah. That it's intended for that purpose of being koveya suda upon it. And it may not otherwise meet the definition, because the definition, the Rambam's definition of pasta babakistan is that it's like a cake type thing. Does this really taste like cake? It doesn't necessarily have such a sugary taste. So it may not satisfy the definition on many levels. Yes?
Just as long as we're on topic, in that case, would you maybe go to the bathroom and make a tails dime somehow, or would you just make a tails dime?
I'm sorry?
On the plane.
Yeah, for sure. You're making a tilosi diamond, that you could do, and then you can make hamotzi. Certainly, as Eric pointed out, there might be a shiloh if you're having it at the very end of the meal. You're actually treating it like dessert. Maybe that would create a little bit of a shiloh. But if you're having it at the beginning of the meal and you're centering the meal around this, then for sure you're being kovei suda upon it. You have this type of dish that you have in pizza places as well, called the calzone. Calzone also creates the same question that's raised by a pashtada, that it's filled not with fruit and nuts, but it's filled with cheese. So it could be that if I have a substantial filling with cheese, so maybe that never satisfied the pasta babakistan test, even technically speaking. And secondarily, you have the consideration that people, I think, will eat a calzone as a meal. If you're eating a calzone, that's not a steak. Calzone's like a very hefty item to go through. I don't know that would be less filling than anything else that you would establish. It's probably more filling than two slices of pizza. It's a nice meal. Okay, yeah, okay. Maybe that's a raya of sorts. So calzone would at least raise a shiloh, whether you could really make a mezonos on a calzone, particularly being koveya suda upon it. But it could be that Me'ikar Adin it's Hamotzi. It could be that it fits into the definition of Pashtuta. So that's all with respect to the definition of what Pasaba B'Kistin is. And yes, sir.
Yeah, the distinction between like Mizomonos and Avil seems so ephemeral. Like, I don't think, like, we don't think in these terms the way that Mara is referring to, like, oh, this is having a meal, I'm having a snack. I mean, it's just like one continuum. I'm just eating, and I don't know what's meal, I don't know what's snack, and I don't give definitions to what I eat, you know what I mean?
It's true. It's a valid ha'ara, because, for example, the Gemara talks about, we have that, I think, at the end of the daf today, talking about haseba, when people would sit down for a meal, so there would be a whole haseba process, and they talk about, well, what if you don't have haseba, you just have yeshiva, so then it's maybe it's a meal, it's a kvias, everyone is kind of sitting together for a meal. If you say, let's be koveya the following makom, if it's like a whole big kvias, so the post can already bring down that nowadays it's changed, we don't do haseba anymore, so yeshiva alone is sufficient for how, you know, maybe the definitions have changed of how we're koveya sort of a meal together. If everybody just sits together, or everybody sets they're having a picnic, and everybody eats off of the same large towel that's spread out together, or a big tablecloth together that's spread out on the ground, so that would also constitute a kfias for purposes of one person being able to make a bracha for others. So that probably is relevant as well to what are the formalities for establishing a meal. But even though our formalities have changed, I think that there still are, you know, certain types of indications that have remained the same. We say, okay, now I'm going to have breakfast, I'm going to have lunch, I'm going to have supper. Everyone kind of knows that if you're eating between meals, this is a snack, and if this is sort of supper, that was true. Some people, bizman is there, supper, so they never quite get around, especially if you have small children. So you don't necessarily get around to having the meal per se. You'll have a nash here, a nash there, and your yotzei zayit through whatever, you know, the number of things that you put in your mouth. So it could be then in Akinami, you didn't really have a meal. You just the kind of nashed your way through your hunger before the end of the night. But people still do sit down, whether it's in a cafeteria, whether it's in the Nagel Bagel Lounge or whatever, people still do sit down around lunchtime with some sort of a notion of this is going to be their meal. So I think that we still have it in some sense, although it's probably not quite as formal as it may have been once upon a time. But that leads us to the second part of the discussion, which is, okay, so if we've defined, so the first question is, do you define it as pasa babakistan? Do you not define it as pasa babakistan? There's, you know, if I have something which is essentially cooked in water, even if it's cooked in lots of oil, so a lot of posts can feel that's not necessarily in the definition of pasa babakistan. But nonetheless, could still be something which is in the category of a snack, like, for example, a donut. Some donuts are deep fried. They have lots and lots of oils. So that's not in any of the definitions. And yet, if it's very clearly a snack, we might say that under those circumstances, maybe you can never even be koveya suda upon it, because the whole idea of pasa babakistan is twofold. Number one, in terms of the kfiyas bracha. Number two, that if I eat enough to be koveya suda, so then I would make hamotzi. So something is essentially cooked. So then it could be that it doesn't matter whether it's a snack or not. I still need the definition of pasa babakistan to say that if I'm koveya suda, I make hamotzi. So it could be then that the donut has the advantage that even if you're koveya suda on the donut, you would never make hamotzi. It has to at least have the satisfy the basic definition of pasa babakistan being a baked good, so that if you would eat enough of it, then you would make hamotzi. So what constitutes a shear for which you would make hamotzi? So it could be that it's half of the shear for what? Every tchumi you have to set aside for two meals. You have to set aside 8 eggs or 6 eggs. That's the question then, that maybe one meal is 4 eggs or 3 eggs. So maybe it's 4 eggs worth. 4 eggs worth is not very much. What's 4 eggs worth? Something like 8 ounces. It's not a lot. For you're talking about basically just eating that amount for pasa habavikistan. And furthermore, this is only if you're eating it alone. If you're eating the pasa babakistan together with other foods, so then the shear you wouldn't have to eat at the 4 eggs worth of the pie itself, or the pretzels themselves, or the crackers, or the Or the cake, it would have to be, what's the amount of food that you would eat together, what's the amount of bread that you would eat together with other foods during the course of the meal? And if you eat the corresponding amount of pasta babakistan together with the other foods that you would eat, you're eating, you know, a little bit of fish and you're eating some eggs and some this and some that, and you're eating it all together with the amount of pasta babakistan, that's the same amount of, say, the bread that you would eat in a meal, even if it could be one kezias, that could be enough to trigger a birchas amazon. So in terms of the shear, the 3-4 egg thing is not really generally accepted by most poskim. Most poskim say, the Mishnah Berurah talks about this as well, in Siman Kuf Samach Ches, there's another shita that holds that it would be that the amount of man that fell that was enough for two meals during the day. So if you have a half of that shear, that's the amount that you would have to eat. That's something like 21... Beitzim and egg, right? And change, right? Because it's like 43.2 Beitzim that fell down or whatever, so it would be like 21.6 Beitzim that you would have to eat to satisfy that definition. So that's not really brought down the halacha so much, though there is such a shita. But the generally accepted shita is the amount that people would generally eat for a meal. If I would have a meal just of bread, so what's the amount that I would eat if I was, like Shal Shudas sometimes. People sit down during Shal Shudas and they're not that hungry, so they have a meal basically just consisting of the two loaves in front of them. They're not interested, all the other stuff is leftovers from lunch anyway, if you're eating like a shul shal shudas. So sometimes they'll just eat the loaf. That looks like the most appetizing thing. They'll have the loaves and they'll have like a little bit of seltzer. So that's like a shal shudas thing. So what's the amount of loaves of bread that you would eat in that type of a context? And whatever that amount is that you'd be kovei asud upon, that's pasta babakistan. And if you're eating the pasta babakistan as people generally do together with other foods, so then it would be this equation of figuring out what's the amount of bread that you would eat to be kovei asud if you're eating other foods together with the bread, and that's the amount of pasta babakistan you would have to eat for an entire sudas. That's why many poskim say, Rav Moshe writes this in his Tshuvos, I think, Aruch Chaim Chelek Dalet Siman Mem Aleph at the end. So Rav Moshe writes, that's why you have to be very wary of eating, say, at a smorgasbord. You know, he doesn't use the word smorgasbord, but that's basically what he's talking about. He says that a sudas nisuin, if people don't want to eat and they just want to have the cake and other foods, so if you're eating cake, which is something which definitely fits the definition of pasta babakistan, and you're eating all of the other foods, you're eating all of the meats and the chickens and all of the chopped liver, and you're eating everything else on the side, and it's in the, and you're eating the amount of pasta babakistan that would correspond to the amount of bread that you would eat in a meal that consisted of chopped liver and Hawaiian chicken and fruit and vegetable salads and everything else that you're eating over the course of the shmorg. So then you should really have to make hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and you would have to make birchas hamazon at the end. So so shmorgs and kiddushes create a major question in this regard. So one would have to, Rav Moshe has the chiddush that if you eat the amount, he has this with respect to bread, presumably the same would apply to pasta babakistan, if the amount that you eat is less than a kezias, then even if you eat lots and lots of other things together with it, you wouldn't have to make birchas hamazon. I don't think that's muskum, the chol aposkim. So then if only somebody only had a little bit of cake, but again, you have to be kovei asuda, so right, you, presumably if it's a kiddush, right, if we're talking about the kiddush context, you have to eat enough so you'd be kovei asuda, so you wouldn't be able to get away with that. But if it was a shmorg, so maybe you can get away with that. But not everybody necessarily is maskim that you can get away with just eating a little bit. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is quoted in the Sefer V'Sein Bracha as saying that if you're eating it separately, not eating the cake together with all the other foods, you eat the other foods on their own, and then you eat the cake separately. Presumably this would be particularly applicable if you only ate the cake at the end of the shmorg. So Rav Yaakov is quoted as saying that it doesn't all combine in that case. It has to, it only combines when you're eating it all together. You're eating everything combined with everything else. But if the cake is separate from everything else, then it doesn't combine. But not everyone necessarily agrees. But Moshe doesn't say that. So the best thing to do if one is going to eat at a shmorg is either not to overeat. I mean, how much time do you have to eat anyway? You have to run into the chassan's dish. There's nothing really to eat over there anyway. Generally, you're going to arrive a little bit late, so it doesn't become so much of an issue. But, you know, if for whatever reason, and you happen to arrive at Shmorg very early and you don't know a lot of people, so you don't have to schmooze with anyone, and you have the luxury of eating lots and lots of things, so then you have to doesn't really happen to me much anymore, so then you have the luxury that then you would probably have the reason to take a role and to make a motzi and to avoid any of these sfeikos, because otherwise you would be kovei asuda. So to summarize, there are two, you know, issues with respect to pasta barbekisten. One is, how do you define it to begin with? Nafkamina, if it's a pasta barbekisten, if it's a pasta barbekisten, you make a mezonos and alamechia. If it's really something which is defined as bread, so then you make a motzi and birchas samozin, even if you weren't kovei asud upon it. And there are three different definitions of pasta barbekisten, and the unifying factor seems to be whether it's a snack or something that people generally set aside as a meal. And then once we have defined something as pasta barbekisten, if you are kovei asud upon it, then for sure you have to make a motzi and birchas samozin. And we discussed the shiurim for being kovei asud. So, for example, the nafkamina would be if you hold a pizza really is pasta barbekisten, and then normally it would satisfy the definition as a snack food. So then that would be the explanation for the minhag that some have, that if they eat just one slice of pizza, they make mezonos, and if they eat, say, two slices of meat pizza, they make hamotzi, because then they've been koveya, that the minhag is based upon the premise that if you are koveya suda on pizza, then that would be satisfied by having two slices, while one slice would only be a snack.
How is probably thinking on my part?
Yeah, that is.